So we're continuing our shiurim here in Karbanos, and again, I apologize if it's a bit shorter today. I guess we'll see what ends up happening. But we've been speaking the last bunch of days, not about individual Karbanos, but about whether certain things are Karbanos or not. And it's been helpful, I hope, not just to learn about Bikurim and Ketores and Tipoy Mitzorah and Cyril Azazel and things like that, but also because it's helped us sort of figure out a little bit, like, what does it take to become a Karban? And what are the different components of a karban? The kedusha of the chetza, of the animal, the result, the maisas that you do to it. And we've seen a lot of different things, and hopefully it's been somewhat helpful as far as like figuring out a bit what's really going on with all of these karbanos. We're speaking today about something which you find, I believe, in the end of Parshas Shoftim, right before Parshas Kisetze, and that is the sugya of Egla Arufa. Let's speak a little about what Egla Arufa is. I'll give away the, you know, punchline now. There's going to be a question whether it's a karban or it's not a karban. And then I'll give away the next part, which is we're probably going to suggest it's something in between also. That's what's going to happen right now. The work is in proving some of these things, understanding, you know, what the makoros are that lead you to one direction or the other, and seeing whether the question really is a question or not. But let's begin as follows. What happens is the Torah describes to us as follows. You find a dead body. In the middle of a field. One second, outside your city. So kimatzi chala ba'adama asher Hashem lokach hanosim lechalarishta. We're dealing with in Eretz Yisrael. You find a dead body that is outside. It's besadeh and lo noda mihi kahu. We don't know who the murderer was. So what happens? The zekenecha v'shoftecha, the leaders of the community come, they measure where is the closest field, the closest city to where that dead body was found. That becomes in the Gemara in Baba Basra, a very important Gemara for the din of Karov, that we follow sometimes not only Rov, majority, but also Karov, proximity. It's like it's in Ksubis as well. So it's right there in Baba Basra. And then the Ziknei Ha'ir end up taking what's called an Egla Arufa. They take an eglas bakar. This eglas bakar, this animal they take, is also asher lo ubadba, asher lo mashcha ba'ol. It hasn't really been worked at all. It sounds a little bit similar to the para aduma, a little bit similar. We then take that egla to a nachal esan, to a certain kind of valley, asher lo ye'avidba v'lo yizare, where there is no one's ever worked that valley, no one's ever planted there. You kill the egla, and there's a whole process. The Kohanim come, and the Ziknei Ha'ir get up, and they say, Yadenu lo shafchu es adam hazeh, we were not responsible for the death of the person. Don't blame us. And the Torah says that there is a kaper le'amcha Yisrael, and v'nechap lehem adam, there is a kapara, which takes place as a result of the egla arufa. There's a lot to speak about as far as egla arufa. There's a lot of really interesting Torah around and trying to figure out all the different steps. The best, to my knowledge, work ever written on Egla Arufa, I guess aside from like, you know, Ravina Ravashi in the last, you know, in Gemara Sota, in our times, Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote a sefer called Nachal Esan, taken after the name of that valley which no one's ever worked. It's a very long and extensive sefer, all about the different halachas of Egla Arufa. It's interesting because Rav Chaim Kanievsky nowadays is more known for some of these farim that come out where they ask him questions and he gives like one word answers. He happens to be a prolific author, especially on some of the more obscure areas of Torah. So Egla Arufa, you know, many people don't focus on or learn anywhere near as frequently. He has a long discussion of all the different details of Egla Arufa. There's a whole lot to talk about, What we're going to be, I guess, somewhat intrigued by is the following question. This Egla Arufa, this egel, this animal that you take, that you're going to kill, and the Torah tells us that there's kapara through the dam, or that there's some dam involved, sorry, that it gives kapara for, and that we say that we are not considered to be accountable for it, there's a kapara. This is like a karban, or this is not like a karban? It's like a karban, not a karban. So let's go through the mixed evidence. On the one hand, again, the similar structure I know to the previous shiurim, but it's a new sugya. I don't think people don't often learn them one after the other. So each one has, you know, something a little bit fresher. But Avi, hold on one second. When you On the one hand, I would think maybe it's not a carbon because there's no indication that I'm makdish it. There's no indication that it, you know, you're not offering on the mizbeach. It seems to be part of a, nothing to do with karbanos. It's part of a unique situation where a dead body is found outside the city. And it's a question of, you know, people taking responsibility for see what's going on. That's all that it really is. There aren't really indications like a karban. But there are probably two reasons, three maybe, why you would think it's like a karban. Number one, here's the most important one. It uses the lashon of kapara. We'll see that Chazal think that's very important. It used the word kapara, which we know, we spoke about yesterday with paraduma a bit, but kapara sometimes is almost a code word for karbanos. There's an animal which causes kapara that sounds really similar to a karban. The Torah also tells us that there are kohanim that get involved in this. Also intriguing, we know that kohanim have different roles, sometimes karbanos, sometimes not. I will not reference Rishon again, not being the Kohen doing an avoda. I will not reference him looking at Negayim not being an avoda. We've, you know, either you got it or you didn't get it at this point. But it is true that there is a Kohen involved. And the third thing is that, and here maybe it's not an indication it's a carbon, but at least you were sensitive to the question, and it's parallel to Para Aduma. It does have that, you know, Egel, you know, connection. It has this whole not working it at all, you know, which is the same dinim we saw in dinim parshas Chukas. So the same way Parah Aduma, we have this question. So to hear, and we know that karbanos can exist outside of the mikdash, a bit also bachutz, at least for certain rishonim. So we're going to speak about three or four sort of like issues which emerge about egla arufa, which are going to be impacted by this. One of them is a series of gemaras that are very important. Let's begin by pointing out the following. Okay. Sorry, that's not what we needed. Here. The Gemara has an amazing statement. And it's a Gemara which in different ways comes up in Kiddushin, it comes up in Chulin, comes up in Megillah, and it comes up in Zvachim. We'll go with at least three of them, where the Gemara has an amazing comment about Egla Arufa. The Gemara says, Egla Arufa, Amri Debe Rabbiyana Kapara Ksivba Kikachim. That Egla Arufa has certain dinim, a certain overlap with kachim, because it says the word kapara by egla rufa. I mean, that point we made, Chazal pick up on. The kapara sounds like it's like kachim. What are the nafka minas of this? So the Gemara in Kiddushin says the following. It's a Mishnah daf nedvav medbeis. The Mishnah tells us that if a person gets married to a woman, you're mekadesh or with an egla arufa. So the halacha is that you're not married. You know, that was your, instead of giving her a ring, you decided to give her an egla arufa. You are, I guess, not the most romantic of people, or you are in a very fascinating relationship, and you give her an egla arufa. The halacha is eina mikudeshes. Why eina mikudeshes? Why can't it be mekadesh a girl with it? So that's what the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Daf Nezayin, kaparik sivba kachim. And Rashi explains, just like kachim or aser behana'a, so too, you know, it's aser to get hana'a from an egla arufa, and you can't be mekadesh a woman with isurei hana'a, with things you can't get hana'a from. So we see the Gemara in Kiddushin at least compares it on some level to the din of karbanos, that you can't get hana'a from it. And because you can't get hana'a from it, just like you can't get hana'a from karbanos, if you marry a girl with it, it's not considered to be a good kiddushin. We have a similar Gemara, or the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara in Chulin and Daf Yud Aleph is speaking about the din, what's the source for rove? How do we know that we follow majority? Different kinds of roves, the Gemara says. In the middle of that discussion, the Gemara brings up Egla Arufa. And the Gemara says, you know, an Egla Arufa is only considered to be a good Egla, Egel, if it has in it if it's not a Trefa. Trefa is if it has some sort of internal health issue that may preclude its ability to live a certain amount of time, certain kind of illness. So that's what's going on. So the halacha is, that it's not a good, considered to be a good Egla Rufa. It says the Gemara in Chulin, I don't get it. Why would you think that Egla Rufa can't be a Trefa? Who cares if it is sick inside or not? So says the Gemara in Mesachas Chulin, the same thing again. Because Amri Derbi Yanai, that's Kapara Ksivba, Kikachim. Josh, we learned not only that it's Asar Hana like Kachim, you can't derive benefit from it, like you can't derive benefit from Kachim. But the same way you can't offer a carbon that is a trefa, you also can't offer an egla arufa. You can't use an egla arufa, which is a treifa. The Gemara Megillah and Daf Chaf gives a third halacha. The Mishnah there in Megillah tells us there are a lot of halachas you can only do during the daytime, and you're not allowed to do at night. As an example, Kol Hayom Kasher LeKriyas HaMegillah, and Kriyas Halal, I'm reading the Megillah, the daytime Megillah is during the day, Halal typically do during the day, Tkiyas Shofar during the day, all those things we do only during the day. And one of the things that Gemara says is Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa, you have to do it during the day. Says the Gemara Megillah on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. Why is that true? Kaparek Sivba Kikachim, just like Kachim can only be done during the day. You can only mock of karbanos during the day. So too, we can only do the Egla Arufa ritual during the day. Tosfos gives us an additional example, Tobus and Nida, and Afnan and Hay. So I believe Tosfos there says, I'll give you another sort of extension of this idea. The halacha is that when it comes to a karban, you can't get hana from the animal itself. But at some point in the process, you're allowed to get hana from the skin of the animal. The ore, the skin of the animal, you can get hana from. Says the Gemara, well, if Egla Rufa is like Kachim, that's also sorry, and the only reason why I can't get any benefit from the Egla Rufa is because it's like Kachim. So if the skin of a carbon I can get benefit from, I can also get benefit from the skin of Egla Arufa. Let me just pause what we did to make sure things are really clear. There is this really interesting ritual, I think that's the right word for this, described at the end of Parsha Shoftim, which is you find a dead body near a city, and we don't know how the person was killed, we don't know who's accountable. And the Torah understands that we don't just move on, we go through this process where we bring in Egla Arufa, the leaders and most prominent members of the city, Kohanim come as well, the closest city to that dead body, they go to a valley that had not been worked, they kill the animal, the Zikanim get up and say, this is not our responsibility, it was not our fault, there's a kapara which takes place, and then everyone, I guess, at that point moves on. Now, we'll see, maybe they don't move on, we'll see in a little bit. Is it like a carbon or not? So the Gemara, in at least, you know, four places here, and we've shown him say, well, it says the word kapara, and kapara ksivba kikachim. So it's like kachim, and therefore it's nafkaminas as far as trefa, nafkaminas as far as isar hana'ah, nafkaminas as far as doing it during the daytime, nafkaminas as far as getting benefit from its skin. There are a lot of halachas of overlap, a lot of halachas of overlap. Now, what I want to point out is that there are presumably two ways of understanding these Gemaras. One is going to be the way that Rashi understands it, I believe, in Chulin, at least at the earlier stage of the Gemara. Could be he backtracks, but many Achorim think he does not. And the other is how the Ramban understands the Gemara. What the Ramban writes in his Perush al HaTorah makes a lot of sense. Says the Ramban, let's put, you know, I would say two facts. Number one, says the Ramban, we know there's something called karbanos that can take place outside of the Mikdash. We've been having shir on this. Seir la'azazel can be a karban even though it's outside of the Mikdash. We know these things exist. We'll point this para, this deportment. There are things that exist outside. Step one. Step two, says the Ramban. The word kapara, you know, again, the Ramban doesn't say it out this way. But the word kapara, Chazal seems to take this pretty seriously. We're learning a lot of halachas from karbanos to this animal. Well, if that's true, so presumably, says the Ramban, I think this is called a karban. The Ramban writes in his Perush al Torah there, Parsha Shoftim, he says, Ulefi da'ati, yesh bo tam ke'inyan ha-karbanos ha-nas yesh b'chutz, si'ir ha-mishtaleyachu para aduma. It has similarity and overlap. At least it's pretty close to a karban, so writes the Ramban. All the evidence, there's a lot of overlap, seems like a pretty, I guess, understandable thing for him to say. If you look at Rashi, however, in Maseches Chulin, Rashi writes, it's actually not a karban. Now, parentheses, he does say that before the Gemara introduces the idea of kapara ksivba kikachim, so it's possible he backtracks, but if you look at Rashi there, it's likely he doesn't, some of the Achronim point out. And Rashi says it's not really a karban. So we would say, well, if it's not really a karban, so what's going on here? And the answer is very simple. It's not a karban. It's not in the Mishkan, not in the Beach.
not in the mikdash, not offering it at all. So what is it? Chazal wrote the word kapara to teach us that it has certain halachic points of overlap, but don't assume there's a real sort of like deep conceptual connection. It's like we saw in the past, you know, about para, you know, we call it a chatas. We mean that it's really a chatas or just that it has certain overlap in halachas. That, by the way, is always important. When we compare two things in the Gemara and we learn out one thing from the other, do we intend to say there's a real, like, conceptual overlap which takes place? Or, no, they have overlap in certain halachas, but there's not always the biggest conceptual overlap. And the answer is, well, sometimes yes and sometimes no. And if you look, it depends on machlokes. So maybe Shonim, there's a Rav who used to be in Otniel. I believe he actually resigned because he was upset that they published an article in their Torah journal, which he held was Kfira. Fascinating person. It's an interesting person. Otniel is an amazing place. He's a very interesting person. Shmuel Ariel, I believe his name, who wrote a two-volume work, at least thus far, on like Torah Shebaal Peh and Drashas. It's masterful. It's amazing. Oniel as a whole has some great Torah. So he has some discussion in general with Drashas and different Mefarshim. It really conveys a bigger connection or it doesn't. You know, I'll give you an example. The Gemara compares carbon tamid to carbon pesach for certain halachas. So is that just a, you know, they have certain halachic overlap, or the two really very, very similar? So the more you know about carbon pesach, or the more you know about carbon tamid, you may say, whoa, they're really similar, or you may say, they're not at all similar. It depends a little bit on, I guess, how you learn it. So the two ways of looking at it is kaparik sipika kachim. Is it defining Egla Rufa for us? It's really, really a carbon. Or is it not really a carbon? It just has some halachic overlap. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. We would point out, I guess, I'll give you an example of a potential nafkamina. Now, I know there's a tshuva de devar of Rum about this. I'm embarrassed to say I found it through Bar Ilan. I don't know if there's also like an explicit Maimar Chazal about this. So I'm revealing the fact that I am an Amaretz right now as I say this, but I will say it nonetheless. We know that Tovos and Tzvachim taught us that in the realm of Kachim, so we say Shana Allah Hakasav La'akev, that if you, a Pasuk teach me something is required, so in Kachim, that only makes it Lichachila. You have to have two psukim to make it absolutely necessary. That's Tovus and Zvachim told us is only a din in Kachim. Is that true in Egla Arufa or not? So that's a discussion, at least in Devar Avram, think of Chaim Kanievsky and the Sefer Nachal Eisan also. If you understand it's mamish like carbon, it's Kachim. So we'd also say here, Shana Lavakasav La'akev. If it's not, then you wouldn't say it. Okay. There's one context where this comes up, which I think is intriguing. It's really the original context of the Ramban. And then we'll sort of build from there to make a suggestion and then point out why I think it's wrong. What this does relate to a bit is a machlokas in the Mefarshim al HaTorah and in the Rishonim, what is the reason behind Egla Arufa? Like, what exactly is going on? Why are the Ziknei Ha'ir even involved? What do they have to do with anything? And we would add, and where's the Kapara going on? And why the whole ritual? Like, what is this all about? What are we really doing? So the Gemara in Sota explains, and there's a very famous Maral, if you get into Parshoftim, about this also, based on the Kalei Rashi there, and the Gemara in Sota, that part of the issue was that maybe there was a little bit of, well, different ways of saying it, like a failure of leadership, that had we done Levaya, had we escorted out people that had visited our cities, so that the area would have been a little bit safer, would have been a little bit of a smoother place. And maybe there was a bit of a failure in terms of the tone that got set, taking care and escorting out our guests to make sure they stay safe. Maral speaks about what the escorting does to contribute to that feeling of safety. And maybe on some of that's a Ziknei Ha'ir saying, Yadinu lo shachwas adam hazeh. The kapara is that, you know, maybe there was a certain element of responsibility. They weren't really accountable for it, but there's something about leaders coming forward and responding anyway. The Mefarsh and the Rishonim al Torah, the Bechor Shor and the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim have similar suggestions, which is, this is like if, you know, certain people connect to this more. An element of why we do this is to start hak. We want people talking about this. it's a little bit weird. We're going to a Nachal Esan where no one ever really goes. The Ziknei Ha'ir are coming down. What's going to happen if the city has an Egla Rufa? Everyone is going to talk about it. It's going to be a topic of conversation. Did you hear, you know, this and that? What's going to end up happening? Normally, we try to avoid Hak. We don't want, you know, Hak is often close to, at times, at least, issues of Lashon Hara. I want to make sure I'm speaking appropriately. So what's really my issue? What's really my concern? So the Bechor Shor, Ram or Huch, I'm going to get different ways of saying it. We want word to get out. And there's actually one of two reasons why we may want word to get out. Maybe I want word to get out because it'll help us find the murderer. It'll help us find the murderer. That way we're going to make sure that, you know, people are going to talk about you. This, where did it happen? Oh, it happened over there. Oh, interesting. I saw someone walking over there that looked a little bit shady. And then, you know, that's a way that will help sort of like the coal, the word will get out. It'll give us some more insight. That's what's really beyond, you know, behind this whole enterprise. Or this guy may have had, let's say it's a guy who passed away. He may have had a wife. And we don't want her to remain in Aguna. Not in Aguna like a husband doesn't give a get. The more classic Aguna we speak about in Chazal sometimes is that we don't know what happened to the husband. So the woman's going to be in some city somewhere. She's not going to know what's going on with her husband. So in order to prevent on some level any questions of it's going to be Yifarsim Hadavar, and then we're going to be able to figure things out. That Kirubo Roav V'yidab Rubo. People are going to talk about it. It's going to be part of the conversation, which is going to be important. Says the Bechor Shor as an example. If people start talking, we don't know who this guy is. Ve'enishto Aguna. You know what's going to be with the Yisomim and this. It's a way of sort of we'll find out. I would say Achaydekach, and we'll be able to find out things. Also says the Bechor Shor. V'gam nira davar gadol v'kpeid legolz because Baruch Hu matriach al nefesh achas. Happens to also be it's an amazingly important statement. Not only spreading the word. That's one piece in Rambam and Bechor Shor. Not only the, you know, the Zakenim's responsibility, but it's an important statement, says the Bechor Shor, even one human life. A person traveling by themselves that was killed and no one knows about him, and people, you know, it's a major statement about the value of a human life, you know, and that's something which certainly if you heard of Asher Weiss on Sunday, or you are familiar with, you know, Chazal, the value of a human life is pretty clear. We take these things pretty seriously. Interestingly, the Ramban quotes this. And the Ramban, after he quotes the Rambam, he quotes the Ibn Ezra, that he does it because maybe there was some sin that people did in that city, which is why a dead body fell there. He quotes the Mordechai, he says, but you know, Lefi Da'ati, I don't think we need any of this stuff. I think it's really like a carbon. And because it's really like a carbon, that's why we're really doing it. What's that? That's why the I missed Avi's comment, which is why I didn't get what you were responding to. Great job, guys. Nothing as good as when I feel totally irrelevant or unnecessary. Then one of you asks a question, the other one answers it. Great nachas. That's what I think Rav Hirsch explains in the beginning of Parsha Baloscha, that that the best thing is that the nair, you know, of Torah, that people can do it on their own. So it's awesome. Back to the Egla Rufa Kutchin piece, in case I am a little bit helpful there, I'll pick up and see what I can do on that one. Although not that much more helpful. The Ramban contrasts. The Rambam has to give his explanation, what's behind Egla Rufa, you know, everybody there. He says, for me, it's Pasha, it's more of a carbon. You know, with that contrast, you know, for the Ramban, we're doing this, it's like Seir La'azaz, it's a kind of carbon that we offer because there's a need for a certain kind of kapara. For others, it's not really a carbon. The kapara piece is almost secondary or incidental or not tied to it being a carbon. So you have to be a different explanation for what is really sort of like going on here. What's really going on here? Okay, there are a couple other nafkaminas I'll point out, you know, briefly. The Rash in the second parak of Maseches Parah wonders, you know, with Kutch and there's something called Pidyon. You can sometimes redeem karbanos. You can redeem, you sanctified it, you made it a carbon. But there are ways sometimes where you can be podeh it. You can redeem it. You give the value to Hekdesh. You pay the money, however much it's worth, to the Beis HaMikdash. And the animal sort of comes back to you. So can you be podeh Egla Arufa? If you made it an Egla Arufa, can you then redeem it? If you said, no, I actually want it back. So again, if it's like Kachim, maybe the same way in Kachim, there's a din of redeeming it. So to hear the din of redeeming it, and maybe not. Maybe not. There's a question similarly to Tosfos in Yuma. On Daf Nuntas, It's a Me'iri in Rabbeinu Eliakim in Yuma and Dasamech. Well, is there an Isser Me'ila by Egla Arufa? Well, it's a question you're showing him. If you understand it's really a carbon, well then it makes sense why maybe there's an Isser Me'ila. If you understand that it's not really a carbon, it's just, it's Aser and Hana, just like Kachim or Aser Bahana, but it's not really Kachim, then it's not really considered to be an Isser Me'ila. Me'ila, the Isser of deriving benefit, that's a unique halacha about Kachim. If you derive benefit from Kachim, you have to bring a carbon, pay back a certain amount of money, but if it's not really Kachim, so then there's no Isser Me'ila. So what we've seen thus far is that Egla Arufa, in this amazingly interesting, you know, thing that we do, is it a carbon, is it not a carbon? Rashi and Chulin, probably not. Ramban, probably yes. We're pointing out to Nafkaminas, Me'ila, Pidyon, and things like that, and how you read the Gemaras that really do compare them. Okay. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay, let's speak about an interesting parallel discussion that we saw yesterday. That's what the Rambam Avi sounds like, that. That's all about that. For others, there's something else. David, the answer is no. The Gemara only says there's Aser Bahana'a. Some Rishonim say, yeah, like Kachim, meaning there's an Isser Me'ila. And some say, just, it's not that. You know? Yeah, I'll answer that question. I mean, this is obviously a very effective way of getting word out, I think. You know? There are other ways, I guess, theoretically also. I guess so, yeah, maybe. Okay. What is the one interesting question is the following. Can the Egla Arufa, can the Egla have a mum? Can it have a blemish? So without knowing anything, I would say, well, carbonos can't have a blemish. So too, if it's like a carbon, it can. If it can't, if it's not a carbon, so why not? That's what I would say. The problem is that like Chazal speak about this. So we got to figure out what's going on. So the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Vav is explicit that only for Para Aduma Asher Ein Ba Mum, with Para Aduma Mum is Pasel, the Ein Mum Posel Ba Agala. That when it comes to Egla Rufa, there's no psul of Baal Mum at all. There's no psul of Baal Mum at all. It's a diyuk from Para Aduma. There's a psul Baal Mum in Para Aduma, but there's no psul of Baal Mum in Egla Rufa. How do you understand that halacha, that there's no psul in Egla Arufa? So Rashi and Chulin would say very simply, it's not a carbon. And because it's not a carbon, so then there's no psul of Baal Mum. Rashi may even say that one of the ways that I know this is true is from this Gemara in Masechet Sota. The Gemara says Para Aduma has a mum, maybe has a psul of Baal Mum, because maybe that's like a carbon, but Egla doesn't have a psul of Baal Mum. And Rashi says what the Gemara is driving at is, it's not really a carbon, and that's why if it has a mum, there's no problem. Psul of Baal Mum's only problem with carbonos, this is not considered to be a carbon. That's what Rashi says. What do you say if you're the Ramban? If you're the Ramban, so you hold that it is a carbon. So how come Baal Mum is mutter? If it's really a carbon, so why is Baal Mum mutter? So what the Ramban says is as follows. You're right. Really, it should have been that Baal Mum is pasul. That's why the Gemara needed a lima to teach me it's mutter. I mean, the Ramban says, without the lima, what was my starting point? The Gemara's starting point was that really it should be pasul if it's a Baal Mum. We needed a limud. And the Ramban would say, don't read too much into that limud. That limud is not telling you to redefine Egla Arufa. It's not a carbon. It is a carbon. It's a carbon, but in this halacha, with a special gezeiros hakasev, that Baal Mum is considered to be kosher. I think the way that the Ramban would read it. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. The Ramban may be able, you want to have a question? The Ramban may be able to say something else because of a fascinating comment. Rabbeinu Gershom in Chulin on Daf Yir Aleph Amid Aleph says, Egla Arufa is like Kachim, Bitzarech Shelo Yehebo Mum Kikachim. Says Rabbeinu Gershom, Baal Mum is pasul for Egla Arufa. Wow. who would love that Mar Makom? The Ramban. Because the Ramban would say, well, yeah, it's a carbon, it's pasul, it's balmum, has to be pasul. Now, there's a problem with that comment of Rabbeinu Gershom. It's awesome if you hold it's a carbon, because now balmum is pasul, like it's pasul by a carbon. But there's a problem. What's the problem? The Gemara in Sota is explicit that an Egla Arufa can have a mum. So what do you do with Rabbeinu Gershom? What do you do with Rabbeinu Gershom? So I'm aware of two potential things that you say. Rav Yashiv, in his Ha'aros, in Chulin, on Dafir Aleph and Aleph, this is true also in the Sefer Mekor Baruch, they quote, Rav Menachem Zemba Nezer Avram asks this Kasha, but the Mekor Baruch says, Rav Yashiv says, yeah, it must be a Toh Sofer. It must be a mistake in Rabbeinu Gershom. It's like too blatant, a stira against the Gemara. It must be a mistake. I would point out that one of the reasons why you would maybe assume it's a mistake also, I'm not an expert in the manuscripts of Rabbeinu Gershom, but he's not even commenting on the Gemara in Sota, and he mentions it like it's a Dover Pashut, as I think he does, like Psul Balmum in regards to Egla Rufa. If he was really saying something like against the Gemara in Sota, you would have, I would have expected like at least a something, I don't know. But they say it's a Toh Sofer. They quote in Sota there, in the Sefer of Tiber Daf Al Daf, the collection of Achronim, he quotes a pshat from Rav Mordechai Gifter. Mordechai Gifter, Rav Gifter was Reshiva of Tells in Cleveland, one of the giants of America. Rav Gifter has a different suggestion, which you can take or leave, but it's really intriguing, and it's awesome for the Ramban. And it's a very sharp pshat. He points out that in the Kovates, in the journal Hapardes, not everyone was so happy with Rav Gifter's pshat, but he says something fascinating. He points out that if you look in the Toras Kohanim, if you look in the Rambam also, it's pretty clear that there's both a lo sase, you're not allowed to offer a karban, that's a balmum. There's also an iser ase. Remember we said that sometimes the Torah, we spoke about in Psachim, the Torah formulates something as if it's an ase, but it's not really an ase. The Torah says, destroy your chametz. There's no mitzvah to destroy chametz. It's a positive way of saying it's usur to own chametz. It's an odd thing, but sometimes it's an iser ase. The Torah says something in a positive way, but it really means it in more of a, as an iser on some level. Okay. Says Rav Gifter, there is both a lav and an ase that teaches me that you're not allowed to offer a balmum on the mikdash, on the mizbeach, as a karban. Says Rav Gifter the following Torah. Well, when the Gemara in Sota said there's a psul balmum when it comes to para aduma, but not by egla arufa. So I think all that was happening there was they were saying there's a lav, there's a lo sase, generally speaking, to offer something which is a balmum. That lav does not apply, it does apply to para aduma. It doesn't apply to egla arufa. It was a lav, lo yebo, it was an iser there. The lav doesn't applies to para aduma. The lav does not apply in regards to egla arufa. But says Rav Gifter, all the Gemara said was, the iser, the lo sase, to offer a balmum, to be makdish a balmum, doesn't apply to egla rufa. But the Gemara never commented on the iser ase. The Gemara never said there was no, it's like such a smart shot. The Gemara never said there was an iser, the iser ase doesn't apply. So says Rav Gifter the following. Says Rav Gifter, yep. Rabbeinu Gershom held as follows. The Gemara in Sota says there's no iser of a balmum. Egla Rufa is no iser for it to be a balmum. So says Rav Gifter, yeah, Rabbeinu Gershom said, well, you're right. There's no lo sa'ase for the Egla Rufa to be a balmum. But there's still an ase. There's still an ase that has to be tumim, has to be complete, like all karbanos. So Rav Gifter does something very sharp. Gifter says, if you really, the way we would say it, if you really hold Egla Arufa is a karban, so then it's really a karban, and there's even a psul of balmum, limaskana. And the whole Gemara in Sota, which said, balmum, there's no iser when it comes to Egla Arufa, was not that sweeping of a comment.
it was a much more minor comment. It was meant the los asay of a balmum doesn't apply, but the asay does. Avi, the way he knows it, because Chazal are explicit in the Torah's Kohanim, is both an asay and a los asay. That's how he knows it. Now, I'm going to make how we thus far as clarity, 1, 2, and 3. I'll speak a little bit quickly if he gets the point in a second. What would Rashi have said back to Rav Gifter? Rashi would have said as follows. No, Rav Gifter reads the limud. Parah has a psul of balmum. Egla Arufa does not have a psul of balmum. Rav Gifter reads it in a very narrow sense. The narrow losa say of balmum does not apply to Egla Arufa, but the Isra say does apply because it's mamish a karban. But Rashi may have said, no, what the Gezeiros HaKasav is teaching me is not just a narrow halacha, that Baumum, the Isser Losase, doesn't apply to Egla Arufa. What the Gemara is establishing is, Egla Arufa, it's not really a carbon altogether. Egla Arufa is not a carbon. And therefore, the same reason why the Losase doesn't apply, the Ase also won't apply, because Egla Arufa is not a carbon. It's not a sacrifice at all, and there's no problem at all if your Egla Rufa is a Baal Mum. And that's why the simple pshat is Egla Rufa does not need to be a Baal. It can be a Baal Mum. Let's chazer what we spoke about today. We spoke today about Egla Rufa, end of Parsa Shoftim, Jewish leadership. We saw that when it comes to Egla Rufa, we take Achrayas, when there's a murder which takes place, and we use this Egla Arufa. We're trying to figure out what's the status of this Egla Arufa. And we saw that for Rashi, that one says Gmar Chulin, it's not a carbon. For the Ramban, it's much more similar to being a carbon. And we saw some nafkaminas. Is there going to be a certain me'ila? Is there going to be pidyon? And we saw that there are certain clear overlaps to kachim. It's Aser Hana like kachim, a treifas pasul like kachim, and etc. But we also saw that there's a lot of action as far as the Balmum question. It seems like Balmum is mutter for Egla Arufa, different than Kachem. But Gerizim seems to say it's still possible. Is it an exception? Is it indicative of its status? We saw a whole bunch of questions, but a very important statement, and a lot of us driving it for the Bechor Shor at least, is just, again, the whole intense ceremony is in many ways conveying to us the chashivas of one life. Certainly an important idea which takes place here.